Top of the morning, and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and did I mention top of the morning? And with me, I have...
Swollen balls. I've never heard that excuse, Nikki. Is that part of your research?
And...
Let's get this shit.
Oh, Kendrick.
5 years.
He must have been on some shit working with Baby Keem, man.
Pretty much.
Almost makes me want to hear that album. Almost. But, yeah, man. Gotta love those memes. Those spicy memes. Yeah, so here we are at what is officially the 5th anniversary of this little dog and pony show we call a podcast. And we're really celebrating it like this.
Unfortunately.
Look, I realize that not every birthday can be like, you know, a blowout celebration, but there's got to be some middle ground, you know, like okay, so you have, like, your big, you know, go-all-out celebrations. You have your nice, intimate celebrations with, like, maybe just a few friends or something. This is like being drunk alone in your apartment with, like, a Publix birthday cake. It's like a day away from expiring.
Ew.
Oh.
Yeah. You could probably tell why if you've seen the title and thumbnail for this video.
Video?
Look, can you tell I'm a little bit out of it? I've been very tired these past few days. Yeah. I'm pretty sure a lot of us have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been, especially because y'all didn't notice there wasn't a album roundup up last weekend. That is on me because last Wednesday, I was in the middle of some of the most excruciating pain I've ever been in. And I've had 2 concussions, and I've had my foot broken. Here's what happened.
Yikes.
Massive toothache, gave me a massive migraine, and then I started feeling tingling on the right-hand side of my body. So I had to go to the friendly dental around the corner from my house, see what's going on. They didn't have the right... tools or time to do proper work, so they gave me a prescription for antibiotics and 800 milligram ibuprofen, and I've been having to take that, especially the antibiotic, 3 times a day, along with the ibuprofen every 6 to 8 hours when needed, while working for 5 days straight.
Yikes.
I've been a very exhausted, bloated, medicated mess over the last couple of days. That's why you didn't get the album roundup last weekend and said you'll get it this weekend, because I was in a state of mind where I couldn't even talk for longer than a minute with, you know, trying to make sure I don't friggin' scream in agony from the pain I've been dealing with. So yeah, that's been my week, but hey, at least football's back, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, football always seems like a good time. Also, the thing is, we tried to schedule a recording, like, behind the scenes, but I would not have been able to edit it this weekend, because I had to be out of town for extraneous reasons. I literally did not come back into town until, like, Sunday night. Like, literally, like, edging right by, you know, the MTV Video Music Awards, which, yes, is a big topic for this episode, but we'll get to that in due time. Mark, you got any fun escapades?
Well, sort of. You know what? It's probably, first of all, say, like, damn, man, Alex, that sounds like a fucked up week of yours. And even if we didn't get to record Thursday... To me, well, what happened Thursday is our city, at least where I live, we experienced an internet outage. As in, it went out. As in, it can't connect to nothing. So, in other words, if we would have to schedule anyway, if when that shit was happening.
I think this is the universe telling us to not talk about a certain album, which, I mean, we don't need all this calamity to tell us not to do that, but I guess they really don't want us to talk about it.
We're supposed to go to anyway.
Man, there's so much awful shit happening, you almost think we were being attacked by, like, the big endgame stand from JoJo Part 8. Fucking flow of calamity. You'll know about that once they, I don't know, do the anime or release the manga legally or something. I just felt like making a JoJo reference, because that's my thing. But, yeah, just calamities and general schedule fuckery all around. But, anyway, now that we're back here, we do, before we get to the big thing, have at least a few actual songs to talk about here, so we're of course going to warm up with the new song discussions. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description below, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and, you know, mark some new albums for the future. Starting right up at the top, as we've all been made aware recently, there will be a new album from the jazz group Bad Bad Not Good coming out October 8th called Talk Memory. We've already had the first single come out a while back, and now we have single number two here, Beside April. And this one, I actually like this a bit better than, you know, the first single we got. It's got a really, like, solid, steady, kind of interesting rhythm with the groove of the drums and bass and everything. Has some great uses of, like, you know, keyboards and strings to carry these very kind of lush, like, almost 60s Hollywood sort of melodies to the whole song. And hell, there's even a good bit of, like, you know, guitar soloing frequently playing throughout the track, whether it be a nice accentuation to the melody or just, you know, some soloing in its own right. It even kind of gets a bit loud. There's, like, one or two pockets of the song where it kind of, like, just swells into very, very noisy fuzz territory just to kind of, like, offset the lushness of everything. Yeah, this is a good song. Bring on the album next month. I am excited.
The way it's composed sounds so wonderfully beautiful. Like the way the instrumentation, the guitar, the way the music swells up to the way we keep going and going. It's like this is just too good to hear. And I do mention that they do have some additional help with this Brazilian composer Arthur Verocai and drummer producer Kareem Riggins. Which, all right. That sounds nice. Yeah. This is just so good to hear. I can't wait to hear the album now coming. And it's been a while since a Bad Bad Not Good album. And I'm just waiting for someone to hear this. At least hear the rest of the album. But yeah.
Yep. Just gotta wait until next month for that to happen. And speaking of October releases. So, while this one doesn't have a hard confirmed date yet, it appears as though rapper Maxo Cream is preparing a new project coming out in October called Weight of the World. No relation to the album that I think was by Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, I legit got confused for a second.
Okay, I was like, wait, okay, now I know what it says. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Just, okay. It took me a second. So, we have a new single from Maxo here called Big Persona, which, one, has absolutely zero relation to the franchise. I thought this was going to be, like, a cheat code so that I could play, like, you know, Persona 5 in big head mode. You know, like this NBA Jam or something. But, secondly, this single has a guest feature from none other than Tyler, the Creator. And he is the best part of this song, like, by a country mile, bringing this arguably the most bravado he's brought on a song in a while, in a way that's almost kind of like the attitude of almost like the Wolf Days coming in with just how much banger energy he has on his bars. And I guess Maxo Cream's there too, I guess, but you know, it's about that Tyler though.
Yeah, I gotta say that. I didn't expect the verse from Tyler like come lately, but now I'm like, this is a pretty All right, Trek, Tyler does a good verse. Metal Cream is okay too. Like, I do like some lines he spell like Max Biggie Big Papa. I mean, who you know do it better? I don't check Barack Obama, Big Crocker used to paddle straight missing jokes, but he lived like Fest and with Griselda. Which okay, does that mean Washington? I guess does that mean the Eddie Murphy one? He was with Griselda member. He messed with West Side Gun. Conway, Benny, Goldie, the mother motherfuckers in there, Armani Caesar. I don't know, but check us all right.
Yep. Now, moving on to the next track here. So, in the past year or so, the artist Emma Ruth Rundle dropped a couple of collaborative projects with the sludge metal band Thou, a full-length album as well as an EP sometime shortly after. But it's now about time for Emma to be back on her solo efforts. Her last proper solo full-length was On Dark Horses in 2018, and now she's announced her newest project, Engine of Hell, due out November 5th, alongside the lead single from the project, Return. Now, I did check out, you know, some of her discography, like her solo stuff, and I think one of the albums from one of the other bands she was in. Normally, like, on her own, she does have a lot of, like, you know, tendencies towards, like, sort of folk, post-rock, kind of dark ambient sort of thing. In the case of this song, it's this very kind of haunting, like, lone, somber piano track, you know, as the musical accompaniment backing her very somber, melancholy vocal performance. It's a very straightforward sort of, like, rhythm and chord progression. It's not super, like, janky or anything in the way that, say, like, a Lingua Ignota track is, for example. Maybe not as existentially horrifying in that sense, but it's very, you know, somber, and it conveys a mood well. I think it's solid enough. I'll keep an ear out for the album sometime in November.
So very nice piano ballads, haunting in the right moments while still carrying more of a serene, graceful presence to its musicality. And yes, I am talking about this like it's a glass of wine, because sometimes it fits the billing.
Yes, it does. Now, moving on to the opposite of a glass of wine, we are going to be diving into the next entry, which is entry number 20, of the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program. And I feel like it's been a while since we've had a straight-up metal jam, so fitting then that this week's comes from a band called Worship. Not terribly familiar with them outside of, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I'm hearing a song from them, but yeah, we have a track here called Many Masters, and it is, you know, since we've touched on Thou, tangentially speaking, this is very dingy, slow, filthy, rumbling sludge. Just the right amount of bassy low end in the riffs, those pounding, booming, slow drum rhythms. Halfway through, the song does switch up tempo to this more driving, aggressive, you know, tempo and affair that's not unlike, it kind of fits in the same realm as bands like, you know, Conjurer, Yashira, Baptist, Yautja, that sort of, like, you know, very sludgy, aggressive metal with its tendencies of more rhythmically off-kilter elements. It does slow back down to the sort of slower dirge prior to the last few moments, but yeah, it's solid enough. I do have a soft spot for this kind of music, so I might have to mark Worship on the to-do list for future, you know, music listening.
Well, it's solid, I'll agree. It's got good riffs, strong groove. Sounds like it's trying to cross between post-hardcore and slam. The vocals are like more abrasive Jamie Josta. I mean, it's fine, I guess. It's just not really doing anything new for me.
But with that out of the way, we can move on to the final track of discussion here. While on the topic of Adult Swim singles, and in the increasingly late-game, high-profile releases that I thought we wouldn't get this many this time. So, over the past week or so, the guys in Mastodon were throwing out all kinds of fun little teases on various social media profiles. A bunch of random image snippets from various sources. I believe, if I recall correctly, there was Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, their fan email newsletter thing, and then of course that weird YouTube community tab thing that I guess some people use. And when people finally put all the pieces together, they got artwork for a project called Hushed and Grim. And then we got the formal announcement that Hushed and Grim will be a new double album, from what I'm seeing in most of the press, coming out October 29th. So just in time for spooky season. Fitting album artwork, then. And so, we, of course, have the first new single from the album, Pushing the Tides. And I always go into modern era Mastodon with a huge amount of skepticism these days. Like, I know expecting Crack the Sky Part 2 is unrealistic, but they've just been on this really weird spot since then. Like, I get the feeling I'm one of the few people that actually really, really enjoys The Hunter. Like, you know, for all people have said about it, I still think that's a pretty damn great record. The one they came out with after that is just, God, I can't deal with that album. It's like, I think it might legit just be, like, they're still their weakest album. And then we had, God, what was the name of the last one? I think it came out 2017. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name so hard right now, but I thought that one might have been a bit of a return to form, and in some ways it was, but it still kind of carried, like, the baggage of modern era Mastodon. So I'm going into this track at least a little bit skeptical, but as far as the song itself on its own, I'll say it's pretty good. It has this nice, aggressive energy to it that kind of reminds me a lot of, if I had to make the closest comparison possible, the song Deathbound, which is kind of like a B-side from like the recording sessions of The Hunter. It's got this nice driving energy, those really great rhythmic syncopations, the signature, you know, fast and furious Brandaler drum style and fills and everything. This really creepy, like, squealing guitar lead that's, like, poking its ways through the walls of nice, crunchy, syncopated guitar chords. It's got a good vibe to it. Good amount of energy. Really nice, like, kind of, like, ominous, creeping through the woods at night kind of vibe. But I still gotta keep, like, my wits about myself for any future singles and the big picture of the album as a whole. But so far, I like the song.
Yeah. I was thinking this is more along the lines of Blood Mountain era speed and flow with more modern structure and vocal delivery, while also staying away from the more simplistic nature of some of their bigger singles the last couple of years. Yeah, this does sound pretty good, especially with the back and forth on the vocals between Troy and Bran. My one gripe with the song is that it's too short. It ends right when it's about to build to a grand climax and just cuts off right there. Maybe there'll be more when the album drops? But yeah, end of October. Guys, chill! We already have too much going on right now.
Yeah. Could have used a couple extra minutes, but still solid enough for what it is. And, now, with all that out of the way, we can conduct the thing that we are only doing out of obligation because we need content. Trust me, this is not something I'm doing of my own will. So, yeah.
We do it because we're stupid and we're sadists.
We have the 2021 MTV Video Music Awards, which, let me just tell a brief little tangent. Like I said, I didn't catch all of the festival. Why did I say festival? God damn it, I am out of it tonight. But I didn't catch all of the ceremony because, well, like I said, I got back into town a little bit late. And also, the day that it aired was my boyfriend's birthday. And he called me up and he said, hey, you want to play some of that Genshin Impact tonight as like a birthday celebration, just the two of us? And I'm like, Video Music Awards, spending my boyfriend's birthday playing a video game with him. As you can imagine, this was not a tough decision to make. Because at least, you know, one of them makes me happy. And, yeah, although I kind of wish I saw, like, more of it. At the very least, because, you know, I still can't believe fucking Machine Gun Kelly and Conor McGregor squared up. Like, why was Conor McGregor at the VMAs?
Because during the ceremony, there was a line from Doja Cat at the opening bit. If you like famous people, keep watching.
No, not if it's the kind of famous people y'all are promoting.
Although, I will say, I'm going to give Machine Gun Kelly a pass this time around because he almost punched out Conor McGregor before the show went live, which is good because he's an asshole and he deserves it.
The one time we could possibly root for Machine Gun Kelly on anything.
Yeah, and just in case I'm sounding a little grumpy, as I mentioned earlier, I've been very highly medicated over the last couple of days trying to get over this horrifying pain I've been in, you know, until I can get, you know, a dentist appointment and get my teeth fixed. I've been very tired, very groggy, and I had to take notes on the whole thing for us to recap everything. I hate doing this. I want this to be the last time we ever do this fucking award show, because this sucked the life out of me. Barring one or two moments, this was... why even bother anymore?
I'm wondering, how much longer until we get the ratings data for this year's ceremony?
We'll know by the time we do our next show, so we'll make our judgment then.
Yeah, that one's gonna be low as fuck.
I hope so. I want all these award shows to die. They're not fun anymore. They're just glorified variety shows that don't mean anything.
They can't even make the variety show part entertaining anymore. If it ever was, but... anyway, starting... of course, we gotta start at the pre-show, because there's always awards that they don't hand out, you know, on stage. The awards given out before the show went live. You have the Push Performance Artist of the Year, which went to Olivia Rodrigo, also the song Driver's License. Best K-pop, are you surprised it's BTS? Would it have been anyone else? And, of course, Group of the Year goes to BTS, which... by the way, quick tangent, I feel sorry for all the BTS stans that are going to have to be forced to listen to Coldplay in the next couple weeks. I'm being serious about that. I feel so bad for them. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we get to the show proper, which opens with Madonna, for some reason. I guess, you know, 40 years of MTV. Holy shit, has MTV really been around for 40 years?
August 1st, 1981. That's when it signed on for the first time.
Yep.
Christ. Talk about a hell of a 40th anniversary.
Yeah. It was a month and a week and a half late.
Yeah. But, yeah, she gives the introduction and we get our first performance of the night. That one godforsaken, annoying as hell TikTok song from the Kid LAROI and You Got That Yummy Yum. For some reason. I sure hope the backing band for that got to collect a nice paycheck. There's not enough money you could pay me to do that.
And if that wasn't enough, he then performed a new song for everyone. Because we gotta work the streaming metrics with these fucking shows now.
Let me guess, did it come from the sixth deluxe version of his mixtape? Fucking...
No, I'm not talking about the Kid LAROI. I'm talking about Justin.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, even worse.
That's...
Yeah. And then, after that, we get one of the few acceptable highlights of the night, being Olivia Rodrigo performing Good For You. You know, because that song is good. At least it's got a pulse, you know? And then, Doja Cat hosting the show. Joy...
it's still a step up from that one, quote-unquote, comedian guy from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, Mr. fucking whining about those goddamn millennials and their cancel culture. Every now and then, I forget that person exists, but every now and then I remember, oh, right, you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And
sorry, go ahead.
As mentioned during that opening bit, if you like famous people, keep watching, which has been the modus operandi of MTV for the last, 23 years.
Yeah. By the way, I have been forcefully informed that there's a show called Floribama Shore, and no.
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 Hell no.
Goddamn. But then we get the first award of the, you know, ceremony proper from Jennifer Lopez introducing Song of the Year. We're not going to bother recapping the other nominees. Just know it went to Olivia Rodrigo for Driver's License. I am not mad about this.
It's acceptable.
All right, I'll take it.
And then per the notes here, and I quote, enjoy about 20 effing Dolby Atmos / Apple Music commercials tonight.
Yeah, they're promoting the hell out of that, even though it's just a virtual live surround sound mix, and it's not going to sound good in your crappy earbuds, all you damn kids out there. Invest in some proper headphones for once.
If you need more information on this, scroll through the recent monthly album roundups.
Yeah, or, synergy. You know, just the sub to dank pods on YouTube.
That too. And then we get an ad for some shit on Paramount Plus in October. Who cares?
Yeah, Madonna has her own special coming up next month on there.
In other words, Madonna returns.
Yeesh.
I'm not expecting it to be as good as that Kacey Musgraves special, though.
Speaking of which, Kacey Musgraves comes out next to perform the song Starcrossed. Then,
which was good.
It was good. And then 21 Pilots came out, because they're still a thing, apparently.
Yeah, and apparently during that performance, he said, "Hey, my wife is pregnant." Like, what the fuck?
Good for you, like, Tyler. Okay. We don't care. Put the ukulele down.
But pretty sure the wife is like, "What are you doing that shit for? I didn't tell my mama yet, motherfucker."
God. This show. And then we get Cyndi Lauper out on stage, and I didn't catch this part, the "Hey, Women Are People Too" Greg. Did I miss something?
Yeah. Y'all know what's going on in Texas, right?
Oh, that Greg.
Yeah.
Guess there's only so many douchebag Gregs to go around, but yeah, after that roast, we get the next award, which is Best Pop. And Best Pop goes to the song Peaches. Because God hates us all.
Mm. Yeah.
At least the Rams scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I was watching the Sunday Night Football game during this because I was not going to spend my Sunday night giving this my entire attention. I decided, you know what, I'm just going to rile this in my notes. It's more exciting than this show anyway.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton stinks.
Then, after that, we get to St. John, I'm not sure how that's entirely pronounced, but, yeah, a St. Jan performance outside of the arena. I'm told it was very bad.
Yeah, this guy's voice just sucks.
Wait, and remind me, was this the same St. Jan that was on the Space Jam 2 soundtrack?
I have.
Yep.
But yeah, apparently it was just a minute long because, wouldn't you know it, these are just snippets of longer pre-tape performances that are up on their YouTube channel because we gotta work the streaming metrics and algorithms here.
Sponsored by Coors Light.
Even worse. Yeah. Terrible beer.
Then, after that, we get Rita Ora coming out on stage to introduce Ed Sheeran performing the song Shivers at Brooklyn Bridge Park, sponsored by Toyota. And, look, this is one of the few parts I did end up seeing, sponsored by Toyota. But, why? Like, society has progressed past the need for Ed Sheeran. But it has not progressed past the need for Toyotas.
Yeah, because another thing about this show that really irks me, they do the thing where they come back from commercial, but they're still doing a paid sponsor spot, and then they come back live to the arena, then they do the performance. That is such a waste of time.
Oh, God, yeah. Just why? Then, after that, at the very least, they counteract that with the big high point of the entire, ceremony, when, Billy Porter comes out to introduce, Lil Nas X and Jack Harlow to perform Industry Baby with a touch of Montero in there for good measure.
Yep, it was a very fantastic performance. The best performance of the whole goddamn night. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure some folks out there have been left irreparably scarred by this wonderful man and his shitpost skills, while the rest of us are just reveling in it.
I was wondering what sounded like Boosie screaming his head off in the distance.
I think that's the sound that the sun in Rick and Morty makes when it's rising.
Wow, hey, look, you guys, the sun's rising!
Dad, how long are the days on this planet?
Computer, how long are the days on this planet?
42 hours.
All right, well, those are the two choices, because Cobb Planet is off the table. Now let's take a vote.
Oh, it probably is, yeah.
And rent-free. Isn't it nice?
Then afterwards, we get Avril Lavigne coming out to introduce the next award. By the way, what the heck was that Geico commercial she was in?
Another sponsor spot for this show, because this is like the only time a network actually makes money from commercials.
I will never understand Geico's advertising strategies, but anyway. Then Avril Lavigne introduces the Video for Good Award, which goes to Billie Eilish for Your Power. Which is, you know, fine.
I'll take it, yeah.
It's acceptable. Oh.
Yeah. But after that, and of course a bleep in the acceptance speech, then we get Charlie XCX coming out to introduce the next performance, which was, okay, I didn't know who that was at first. Like, I just saw, like, some old Hollywood setup, you know, kind of like friggin' La La Land, or, like, what was that one Netflix movie that I think was, like, a fucking David Fincher, I want to say, project? The Master, I think it was. Or was that not Netflix? Anyway, it was bad. I was annoyed by it, and it turns out it was friggin' Camila Cabello.
Oh, God. Somebody please tell this woman she will never be the next Gloria Estefan.
Like, no, ever. No, she will not at all.
No. Nope, she will not. And also, please tell her, don't sing Revelation no more. You can't pull it off.
No. We collectively do not care about anything this woman does. We don't care that she's in a lovey-dovey relationship with the treat-you-better guy. We don't care that she has a freaking Elektra complex. Go away!
Ugh. Just whatever. Then, after that, we get fucking Shawn Mendes coming out to perform. Oh, hey, apparently L.A. is now up 13-0 against Chicago.
Again, much more enjoyable than watching friggin' Shawn Mendes.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I'm like, I would also be watching sports. At least then you run the chance of seeing, like, I don't know, naked streakers or something.
Or a cat dangling from the stands only to fall on an American flag to safety.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, I could be watching that new movie everybody's talking about, Malignant. I heard good things about that.
Yeah, so am I.
That reminds me. I finally saw The Suicide Squad. Why didn't you all tell me Pete Davidson gets his face blown off? I would have watched it a month ago if you told me that.
Well, I didn't want to spoil it for you, but no. I could have known for you, but yeah. But hey, I'm glad you saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then after that, we get Leslie Grace coming out to introduce Lotto, singing a song that can be, quote, affectionately called a fantasy ripoff, Mariah Carey and Culture Club.
It is.
Sue.
Yeah.
Yep, it is. Yeah. Like, I can hear, like, I hear the song, finger, like, ain't that Mariah Carey? Okay.
You all know the notes. You all know what it is.
Yep. And, yeah, the fucking push performances because of YouTube streaming algorithm. Then Simone Biles introducing Doja Cat to perform something. Was it that song where she has so many fucking annoying cutoff ad-libs?
All I know is that she was hanging on wires for the first half of it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. Most performances, I just went to the bathrooms. Most performances, I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, and then Conor McGregor comes out to introduce the next award.
Yeah, he had a cane because he got his fucking foot broken in a fight, and everybody was super happy about it because this guy's a fucking whiny bitch baby motherfucker.
Is there getting their foot broken this month? Besides me, okay, damn.
Yeah, but he comes out to present the award for Artist of the Year. And, okay, Alex, you have to be shitting me with this.
Really? I am not.
Really?
I am not.
You're serious.
I am unfortunately serious.
Oh, okay, I will try not to shoot the messenger. But how the fuck does Artist of the Year go to Justin Bieber?
I don't fucking know.
I blame the Zoomers.
Just, God, y'all are the worst. Well, okay, maybe not the worst, but you're like close. Anyway, then we get Hallie from Chloe and Hallie to introduce the next performance, which is Chloe of Chloe and Hallie.
Yeah, I guess you heard that she's going solo because like they both going their own solo ways because since Chloe's doing the music thing and Hallie's, you know, she's in that Little Mermaid remake and shit, which yeah.
You know, I heard they're performing of America the Beautiful during the opening of WrestleMania 34 a couple years ago, and they were billed as the future of music, and that's always rubbed me the wrong way because. That's a very, very, very bold claim to make, which means that you have high expectations. So you better be doing something nobody else is. And in the case of this performance, she's just a complete carbon copy of Beyoncé. The voice, the mannerisms, the stage presence. We've seen this before. We've heard this before. These women are fucking robots. Programmed automatons. Meant to be a perfect, what's the word I'm looking for? Focus group. Yeah, a perfect focus group representation of what popular music in 2021 should be. And that's really fucking boring.
Yeah. People wonder why we gravitate towards like Lil Nas X or Billie Eilish. At least their shit seems like it's coming from a sincere place and not, you know, this. And,
booty so big, as the screen said.
Also, at this point, apparently Chicago is on the board, only down 13-7.
Thank you, Justin Fields.
And the show is only half over.
I was dying at this point, guys.
Okay. And all then,
right, can I take over this one?
Go ahead.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so Wyclef Jean comes out, and of course, being the best hip hop boy, he shows off what guys have passed away recently, like a Shock G, Biz Markie, DMX, and if you want to remember, I didn't say Doom. Do you think MTV gives a shit about Doom? Come on,
no.
You don't know better than that. You don't know better than that. I know. So anyway, the best hip hop award, it goes to Travis Scott with Franchise. Really? The song that barely did.
Fucking what?
You still recognize that song? Yeah, that one song he did apparently, which he filmed on film for the video. I don't know. It's like really that song. People still care about that one. You know, people actually care about that song. Because most Travis Scott fans don't give a shit about that song, from what I've noticed.
Ah, oh, jeez, just... really, Travis Scott? Fucking A. But anyway, after that, we get to Ciara. I was never quite sure how the name is pronounced, but yeah. Coming out to introduce the next performance from Normani, which is very, very sapphic.
Yeah, that ending was... I don't know what that was, but it got my attention. I'll just say that.
Yeah, it did.
yeah, it was something all right. And, so after that, we get Fat Joe who's apparently still around, to introduce the next performance from Ozuna. And, reggaeton, you know.
Yeah.
It's a thing that exists.
Yeah, and there are bears everywhere.
Bears?
And this just in, he's apparently doing something with Blackpink. So, good news, K-pop stans. Y'all get to suffer even more with mediocrity.
Oh, hey, the Rams are up.
Yay!
Yeah, very very nice. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we get... I'm sorry. Hang on. Let me make sure I'm reading this right. Mm-mm. Ashanti and Ja Rule.
Wait, really? He's still around?
Evidently,
I guess.
He is.
And then
I'm going to throw a red flag on this introduction, by the way. We do not speak of Mesmerize. Not now, not ever.
No, we do not. But they introduce Best Collaboration, which, I feel like I shouldn't be surprised that this one went to Doja Cat and SZA. But, yeah, it went to Doja Cat and SZA.
I do have one question regarding this. She was wearing something here. What in the fuck was she wearing? I'm going to send this to you guys right now. Explain to me, in as much detail as you can, what you see in this first picture of Doja Cat in whatever this is.
Wait. I think about the photo of her having a fucking chair as a hat or some shit.
What? What is this? What
some
are
kind
any of,
these? It's I don't know. Like
like what the fuck you what the fuck you like I'm a cook yeah the cook done this shit for me when I went boom next episode what the fuck are you wearing
is she auditioning for like a live action JoJo part or something. Actually, I take that back. I'm pretty sure the guys from Golden Wind have more sensible designs and outfits than that. And fucking Diavolo exists. Fucking with this, you know, weird fishnet mesh thing. This leather pants and shit. God. But yeah, after that, we get AJ from the Backstreet Boys, Nick Lachey and Lance Bass from NSYNC to introduce the next award. Which, of course, given that they're boy bands, it went to K-pop. And the K-pop award went to BTS for Butter.
Just by the way, this was announced before the show went live, and they just announced it again anyway, because I guess all the people watching would have been mad if it wasn't acknowledged.
You know, do you really want to get bombarded with the K-pop stans on your social media? But, after that, we get Billie Eilish introducing the Global Icon Award, which goes to the Foo Fighters. Which gives us a short medley of Learn to Fly, Shame Shame, and Everlong.
Yeah, that was a really short medley. Too short, actually, considering... I mean, it's a big acknowledgement. This went, like, maybe 6 minutes at that. Would have expected a little something more. And I also want to note, they actually thanks... some people from MTV back in the day, like back in the 90s, like Kurt Loder. I guarantee you, nobody in Barclays Center knew who the hell Kurt Loder is.
Yeah. But, but that choice of songs for medley, that's like a shit sandwich on high quality bread. Yeah, I'm still not a fan of that last Foo Fighters album, sorry.
They peaked with Wasting Light. We all know it.
Unfortunately. Oh, hey, 27-14 for the Rams.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Matthew Stafford's finally on a good team. Good for him after spending 13 years in Detroit.
How sad is it that I'm getting more excited about sports statistics for a sport I don't watch than I am for anything about this award show?
It's not hard.
That's just sad. But then after that, we get SZA to introduce the next performance, which is Alicia Keys performing with Swae Lee.
Yeah, apparently she's working with Mike Will Made It now. I couldn't tell you why, but I do have one thing I would like to add to this. If Ray Shremmerd ever comes back to doing, you know, proper, you know, duo work, they're just going to be billed as Swae Lee and the other guy from now on. Have we heard of him in the last 3 years or something? Like, ever since Swae Lee did that song for Spider-Man, he's just been on a whole different universe or something.
Actually, hang on. Let me see if I can see what's going on with Mr. Slim Jimmy as of late.
That's his name. God.
Jesus, he doesn't even have his own Wikipedia page. Just Swae Lee.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I guess I might as well scroll the... Wow. The last thing listed as far as, like, the band's activity... It literally stops with Shrem 3. For some reason.
Welp!
And just nothing... Wow. Damn. Although, that gives me fear that we're going to get Shrem 4. I'm scared. But anyway, after that happens, and then fucking Empire State of Mind again.
'Cause New York! Ow!
We get it, Alicia. But anyway, then Doja Cat comes out. This is when she's wearing the fucking chair on her head. And Tommy Lee's out here now.
Yes. Because they just can't ever stop being Motley Crue, not for a friggin' minute. Although apparently it's even worse for Vince Neil because, oh my god, he cannot sing anymore.
No, he cannot. Then, after that we get the introduction for Best Alternative, which, went to Machine Gun Kelly for My Ex's Best Friend. You know, I'm not necessarily happy about that, but like we said, he did almost punch out Conor McGregor, so you get one.
Yeah. Better this than friggin' shirtless Imagine Dragons or Glass Animals, I don't know what Space Ghost Coast to Coast is, but I'm gonna write it anyway or any of that other bullshit.
Ugh. God. But yeah, then after that, we get the Best New Artist Award, which goes to Olivia Rodrigo. Again, not entirely mad about that. Then Swizz Beatz, who is still around apparently, he comes out and introduces the next performance, which is Busta Rhymes, apparently.
Oh boy.
You think he popped a blood vessel in his eye seeing all the masked people in the crowd?
Probably, but I have to ask, is it just old age, or has his flow always been this bad?
He could do some shit back in the day, but
yeah,
I think he's legit in a I don't give a fuck anymore kind of phase.
You know, him performing like his greatest hits, which is like, I would enjoy it more. Except the fact what he said a couple of weeks ago is like, oh really, Busta, really? It's like I did like the but I'm like I want to like it, but fuck, I'm just a thing. And meanwhile, that I've been saying some wild shit like fuck the mask or some bullshit like that. Which then again, I guess ain't that stupid. Maybe I don't know. Yeah.
But then after that performance, although just really quick to sum up some awards that weren't given, you know, proper screen time, Best R&B, Silk Sonic, Leave the Door Open.
Yes. Yay. Good. The one thing I give a shit about.
Best Direction, Lil Nas X, Montero.
All right, good acceptable. For him. Yes. He won. Thank God.
Best cinematography, Beyonce with Brown Skin Girl.
Okay, I think that was from the Lion King soundtrack or whatever, I don't know.
Was it? I thought that was, like, super old. Like, anyway. Best choreography is Harry Styles. Treat people with kindness.
Yeah. And then they said to find the refs, go online, which is code for just wait until chart data says it after the show ends. That's a hint for later.
Because we're fucking lazy.
Don't you know, be too enthusiastic, Viacom.
Yeah. Yep. Also, because I happened to had to take all the notes real quick because they were going through this one after another in like 45 seconds. They then spent the next 2 minutes talking about all the Video of the Year nominees in pretty lengthy detail.
Oh, did they?
I must have blanked out of that one. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But before we get into the last of the awards, there still are the other awards. So, Best Latin went to Billie Eilish and Rosalia for Lo Vas a Olvidar. Best Art Direction was Saweetie and Doja Cat for Best Friend. Best Editing, Silk Sonic, Leave the Door Open.
2 wins, nice.
Best Visual Effects, Lil Nas X, Montero.
All right.
Little win. Nice.
Best Rock, John Mayer, Last Train Home.
Who cares? Sadly,
JoJo reference. And Song of the Summer, BTS, Butter. And then we get the final award of the night presented by, of all friggin' people, David Lee Roth. Okay.
Yeah. At least he still has his voice, unlike Vince Neil. So, you know, give credit where it's due.
And there's some serious money in this mother blank.
Yeah. All of $10 and a ham sandwich for these friggin' statues.
And to be fair, it's those statues probably cost more than the entire budget of, I don't know, Anime 2 or something. I miss George Gameface.
Oh, speaking of budget, the stage for this show was kind of not there. You had a platform and a stage and a video board, but other than that, it was all just more AR graphics, which still looks ugly.
Jeez, that sounds like the worst. But, so the final award for the night is, of course, Video of the Year. And this is the one part where they actually do get it right where they should, because of course it went to Lil Nas X for Montero.
Score one for the Gay Agenda, boys. Let's go.
And that was the second time that night you heard Boozy screaming in the distance.
Yeah, like sun rising. This way.
I gotta figure out some way to work that into the thumbnail this week.
We'll use that sound.
That too. I might double up. But, the one of the few times when MTV gets it right where it really matters. But then we, of course, get the final closing performance of the night, which is Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker. Introduced by their significant others, Megan Fox and Kourtney Kardashian. I'm sorry, who's dating who here?
Megan Fox is dating Machine Gun Kelly, and Kourtney Kardashian is dating Travis Barker. I don't know why, don't ask me.
Oh, God. Let's hope that doesn't lead to the modern equivalent of All Men and Woman.
Or Kim and Kanye.
That too. But, that's the final performance of the night. Apparently, the Rams won 34-14. 6 minutes of overtime. Yeah.
Yeah, at the point, I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. The show was a drain. And it shows just how irrelevant all these friggin' award shows are becoming.
It dated.
If you want a good award show, wait for one that isn't on TV. Case in point, the Creative Arts Emmys that aired... Actually, they didn't air, but they happened. Primal, Best Animated Program, or something.
Nice.
Nice.
But, yeah, why is this show still a thing?
It's kind of odd. Well, not odd, maybe odd. Like, the way Anson played, video killed the radio star, even though internet killed the, internet killed the TV star, killed the MTV star.
Here's why this show felt so irrelevant more than anything else. At the start of the show, there was a big opening segment talking about 40 years of MTV. They didn't do anything else for that the whole damn night. Moreover, this was the day after the 20th anniversary of the World Trade Center attacks, which I believe was a big reason why they wanted to do it in New York in the first place, to tie into the commemoration. They didn't do that either. Why does this show exist when it clearly just wants to be a variety show where they can do friggin' sponsor spots? Why are we not treating it as such? Why do we have to spend so much time talking about these shows when they don't care anymore either?
I think it's us saying, you know what, we don't give a shit about this war show anymore. In fact, we wonder why we did in the first place.
Because we were young and stupid, but 5 years later, let's just cut it right here. This is it. This is the end. No more of this crap.
Yeah, this is a serious finale of us doing this.
Not going out with a bang, but a pathetic whimper. Just like this show.
This is the kind of thing that makes me consider emptying out the bottle that I got sitting on my mini fridge. I don't even know if there's an expiration date on that whiskey, but fuck it.
I would drink it, except I don't have anything, and I'm on medication, so mixing that would be kind of a no-no.
Meanwhile, all I have is a bottle of Pedialyte Sport I've been drinking for the last 5 days, because I need something to take my medicine with.
Yeah. But anyway, now we can bid a fucking farewell to this MTV thing.
Farewell, fuck you, get the hell out of here. Damn.
Maybe they'll invite us to the funeral. But anyway, there's one last thing to talk about here, and that is the new album releases for the week of September 17th, 2021. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Death Metalers Carcass with Torn Arteries. We have the newest album from metal band Alien Weaponry with Tangaroa. The much anticipated debut of Spirit Box with Eternal Blue.
Finally, some delicious fucking food.
There's a new project from More Mother with Black Encyclopedia of the Air. Speaking of the topic of why the fuck does this still exist, much like MTV, a new Daughtry album, Dearly Beloved. Apparently, Lindsey Buckingham is prepping a new self-titled album.
Stop talking! Stop talking, Lindsey! Jesus Christ, stop talking!
And still getting into beefs with Stevie Nicks, which, man, Rumors Part 2 is going to be fucking lit.
Please stop talking, Lindsey. Nobody wants to hear it.
And last but certainly not least, you will once again be hearing Boozy howling in the distance with the new Lil Nas X debut project, Montero. But, yeah, now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I continue to tell people to stop being stupid. Like you, Nikki! Stop being stupid! Don't want to hear it from your cousin's friend or your friend's cousin or whoever the fuck it is who apparently has swollen balls. That guy probably has an STD. He might want to get tested for that.
I've been fucking too much.
Yeah. And, Mark, what about you?
Usual on my Twitter at Matt Type of Media, and, of course, my site, mynightonehighonethatwordpress.com. And, of course, what I got new is, oh, wait, look, another Orphan chapter. That's up right now. Because I'm like that.
Cool, cool. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the weekend, so subscribe, hit the bell tab, so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to, you know, follow us on Twitter, @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into the Discord chat so you can spread all kinds of hilarious jokes about Nicki Minaj's bullshittery. And shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, have the album roundup coming hopefully sometime this weekend, finally. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So until next time, I'm not crying. You're crying. There was a bowl of onions here. It definitely wasn't steep.